పూర్ణమిదం పూర్ణాత్ పూర్ణముదచ్యతే పూర్ణస్య పూర్ణమాదాయ పూర్ణమేవాశిష్యతే. ఓం శాంతి శాంతి శాంతి. Let us chant mantra 1 of the Upavasya Upanishad. Om Ishavasya Mitato Sarvam Yatkincha Jagatyam Jagat Kena Tyaktena Bhunjita Matrida Kasya Shriddhanam. ॐ ईशावास्य मिदतु सर्वं यत्किञ्च जगत्यां जगत् तेन त्यक्तेन भुञ्जीता मातृधत्तस्य स्विद्धनम्. सो इन् दिस् ईशावास्य उपनिषत् so far we have completed the invocation and the first shloka, first mantra. The invocation of most of the Upanishads are just a mere prayer, just praying. The prayer is done by both the guru and the shishya, and they pray to the divinity, so that there is not much of a disturbance from the transcendental or terrestrial or within, to ward off the obstacles. They pray together. That's the usual prayer. Whereas here, the invocatory prayer itself is the highest philosophy. And here, it starts by saying Om, and then Purnam Ada, that is infinite. Purnam Idam, this is infinite. Meaning, this world, which is time, space, causation, is also infinite. And it has come from that infinite Brahman. So, from that infinite Brahman, this infinite world has come about. Purnam Ada, Purnam Idam, Purnat, Purnamu Dachyate. Purnasya Purnamadhaya Purnameva Avashishyate means when the infinite called the world, which is nothing but name and form, is removed with knowledge of the fact that it is essentially divinity, then what remains is the ultimate Purnam, which is Brahman. So Purnam minus Purnam is Purnam only. So when the name and form is removed, what remains is the substratum, which is Brahman. This is the essence of the invocation of Ishavasya Upanishad. Then the Guru starts the first mantra. This Om Ishavasyam Idam Sarvam. Idam sarvam means everything. This everything. All this. All this meaning the entire world is covered by, pervaded by that Lord, Isha, or that consciousness. The consciousness pervades the entire universe. And what kind of universe? Sarvam. When he says sarvam, that sarvam is explained further when he says yatkincha jagatyam jagat. So whatsoever in this changing universe is there, all that is actually pervaded by Isha, the consciousness. What we see as matter today, like quantum physics clearly explains to us, is nothing but energy vibrating in a certain frequency. For us, it looks like solid matter. But actually, it is nothing but energy vibrating in a particular frequency. So it's all nothing but energy or consciousness. So he says, this entire world or universe is pervaded by that consciousness only. Ishavasyam idam sarvam yatkincha jagatyam jagat. Jagat means this constantly changing matter. The material world which is in a constant flux of change. This material world which is in a constant flux of change, which is nothing but nama rupa or name and form, is essentially the pure consciousness. So, in a bucket of water there is no wave. But in a vast sheet of water called ocean, there are waves. Similarly, in the vast mass of homogeneous mass of consciousness, there is action and reaction going on. So the consciousness from outside, when it strikes the consciousness from within, in this action and reaction, the subject mind comes, and as soon as the subject mind comes, the object world is positive. So this so-called world, what we call as matter, is essentially consciousness only. So, therefore, he is saying here, whatsoever in this changing universe is there, it is all pervaded by Isha, Lord, or consciousness. Why consciousness is called as Lord? Because it lords over everything. Lord meaning subtle, subtle meaning something that pervades and controls and is not controlled by the other. It's the subtle that controls the gross, and gross cannot control the subtle. So in the presence of the consciousness, this matter comes into existence, but even though the matter has come into existence, it does nothing to the consciousness. So, even though you light one candle and then you light from that one candle thousands of candles, that first candle light, nothing happens to that. Similarly, even when the matter comes about, even when the name and form comes about, nothing happens to the consciousness. It makes us Lord. Nothing happens to it. So, therefore, yes, that Lord or the consciousness pervades this entire universe, which is a constant flux of change, which is nothing but material world. So this material world is the effect, and the consciousness is the cause. And then in the next line, because in this line he only declares the truth, he only declares the reality. This is why we need the Upanishad. Upanishad doesn't talk the normal things which is known to everybody. What is known to everybody commonly in the world, from a different angle if you look at, is the sun is revolving around the earth. But when we probe, we understand it's not the sun that is revolving around the earth, it is the earth that is revolving around the sun. Similarly, for a naked eye, a general perception, matter appears separate. So that the Guru first declares, saying, no, all this world that you see, that you experience, is pervaded by that consciousness only. This is what the explanation of that declaration, Prajnanam Brahma. Prajnanam Brahma means it is a consciousness functioning through the thought, takes the shape of the object of the thought. The consciousness that has become the thought and then the object. So that's why if you go on at a particular thought, consistently with single-pointedness, the energy directed in that direction, the momentum that is gathered over a period of time gets materialized. In fact, that is how we have materialized everything. This world that we experience is as per our thoughts. So if you go on, dwell on this negative all the time, you will materialize the negative. Now, this is why even during this pandemic situation, we say that don't dwell on this negative. The number of people who are dead out of the fear of virus is more than actual virus. The more you get stressed, the chemicals start flowing in your body, and your body getting soaked in those chemicals like cortisol for a long period of time drastically has an effect on your immune system. When you have very weak immune system due to your stress, because when the cortisol secretes for quite a long time in your body, you'll have trouble going to sleep only. That is why Vedanta helps. If you're having trouble going to sleep, if you attend class, you will fall off to sleep. Immediately you'll be able to fall off to sleep. So, cortisol will not allow you to go to sleep. Even sleep will be a very disturbed sleep, if at all. And the moment your sleep is disturbed, it further complicates the whole thing. And then the immune system goes for a toss. The immune system goes for a toss, you will attract all kinds of disease. So, it is actually you who attracts these diseases. So therefore, he says here, this entire universe is pervaded by that consciousness only. That consciousness becomes energy and energy becomes matter. Now, when you understand all this, what you are supposed to do is instantly, in fact, not supposed to do, instantly what will happen is what he says, tena yaktena bhunjitaha. May you enjoy through renunciation. May you get that security through renunciation. Jagena. This word jagena appears every now and then in all the Upanishads and even Gita. Jaga. In fact, Gita, 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 Gita. If you repeat, it will become tyagi, 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 tyagi. So, the general understanding of ours is we get protection by acquisition, by accumulating wealth, by accumulating name, fame, power, position, family members, friends, circle, by becoming members in all different groups. By more and more accumulation, I, who is without knowledge, think that I will find security. So, therefore, this is the general understanding. But the Upanishads and Gita, they always declare the opposite. Or it's the other way around. Our understanding is always the opposite of the truth. Our understanding of richness is, I measure my richness in terms of what all I have. But the real richness is, the true definition of richness is, I am rich with what all I can be without. Not having that is the problem. It is not having the capacity to be without that is the problem. And this is beautifully exposed now during this corona time. Even day before yesterday, somebody had called me, you know, somebody whom I know very closely for so many years. They call me here in Chennai. So, they're saying, thank God we have these smartphones, otherwise we will be finished in this corona time. So, you can't imagine yourself without a cell, without a phone, without a laptop, without an iPad, without a television. without some gadget. And luckily, this corona time, the Wi-Fi, everything is working. So we could also have class. But throughout the day, our mind is incapable of being alone. So it requires some kind of, you know, support. This is actually weakness. This is not power. Real power is to be able to stand on your legs with no dependence whatsoever. That is real strength. So we think we get protected when we have so many things to rely on. We have so many things that we have acquired. So many people, so much name, fame, power, position, so much of knowledge I have acquired. I have studied Gita, I have studied Atmabodha, Vajrabindam, Kena Upanishad, I have completed. Now I am studying Isha, Vaishya. I know this, I know that. Now, what is happening is, the sun above is only one. But when the sun above falls on different reflecting medium, different suns are born. Like if there are 25,000 buckets with water, 25,000 suns will be born. Because the sun above will be reflecting in each and every bucket. So every bucket will have one sun, as it were, called the reflected sun. Similarly, that one pure consciousness reflecting on a different body-mind complex is these different egos. Lakshmi Narayan, Sadhana, Madhu, Mamta, all are nothing but different ego, individuality, which is a reflected consciousness, which is false, which is a lie. Now the irony is, this is lie, but this lie is now for us the truth. That truth, Brahman, for us doesn't seem to exist. Is the problem. In the language, Tamil language, there's a word for this body. The word for this body is Mei. Mei means truth. But actually this body is not the truth. But in Tamil language, they call it as Mei. Why? Because it's a transferred epithet. This body is not the truth. This body is not me. But the truth which is inside this body is the me word addressed to. Transferred epithet. And you say hospitable door. The door is not the door. The people who are inside the house. You open the door and go inside the house. The people who are inside are all hospitable. Therefore, this door is called as hospitable door. It's a transport epithet. Similarly, this body in Tamil language is called as Mei. Mei means the transferred epithet. The truth is not this body. It's only a door. It's only a vehicle. You open that and go inside. What is there is truth. So the ego is false. But for us now this false is real. So now compare this with a lie. Supposing I lie something to Mamtaji, I lie something to Amishi, I lie something to Sadhana. Each one I am saying something different. So I will have to remember what all lies I have told, whom, what, when, all that. So I will continue trying to protect the lie with much more lies. But there will always be this insecurity that one day I will be exposed. Similarly, in spite of all our accumulation, so much of wealth, so much of people, a member in this group, member in that group, all groups, 25,000 groups I am member. And in some of the groups I am chairman, some of the groups I am secretary, I am this, I am that. All these things I still feel insecure. So my thinking today is this ego can be protected, the false will one day be exposed. That which had a birth will suddenly have a death. So any amount of, you know, acquisition, whether it is of wealth or knowledge or people or name, fame, whatever it could be, the ego will not feel secure. That's why how much ever we acquire, there is this sense of insecurity that prevails throughout. You go and ask somebody who's lived 100 years. You think you have lived enough? What do you think? Do you like to die now? Vacate the space for somebody else? You say, yeah, yeah, but just wait for another 1 year. My last, great grandson is about to get married. Once that marriage is over, I don't have more having problems. I'll die. But once the marriage is over, you go and ask them, they'll say something else. Never do you feel secure. So here the Upanishad gives us completely different from our general understanding. What? The real protection is by renouncing the false. Unless and until you renounce the false, you will not find security. The problem is, we are retaining the false and trying to provide security from other false things. So in this game, we will be losers. We are losers and we will continue to be losers. Therefore, the Upanishad says, Tena Chaktena Bhunjitaha. The word Bhunjitaha, you know, Swamiji translates it as may you enjoy. But it also means may you protect yourself. May you secure yourself. Only when you feel secure, you will be enjoying, isn't it? Supposing you have all your desired objects in your room, but you know there is a lion roaming around your villa, trying to get into the villa. Will you be able to comfortably enjoy all the objects that you wanted to enjoy, even though it's given to you? Only when you feel absolutely secure do you really enjoy. So therefore he says, renounce. It's only through renunciation. And renunciation we have always maintained means knowledge. By understanding that all these are nothing but consciousness only. So it's through renunciation that you enjoy. So really speaking, when do you feel protected? When do you feel complete? When do you enjoy? When you have non-possessive attitude. So when you think your ego, then you will have this possessive attitude towards the material and anything and everything. Then you will not have any security. So the moment you understand that you are essentially consciousness and everything around you is essentially consciousness, and due to this play of action in action, there is this matter that has come about which seems to be different in perception, but technically it is one. Once I understand that, then what happens? I will renounce mentally. So he says, Tena Tyaktena Bhunjita. So Vedanta doesn't say renounce your possession. You have the possessions, you don't have the possession, doesn't matter. But the possessiveness towards the possessions should be dropped. Once you do not have the tyaga, you will suffer. Because you will be attached. And attachment is the source of sorrow. Thiruvalluvar in Thirukkural in Tamil he says, Yadenin, Yadenin, Ningya, Nodal, Adenin, Adenin, Ila. Yadenin, Yadenin, Ningya, Nodal, Adenin, Adenin, Ila. Means what? From whatever you have extricated yourself from, pain is not there for you from those things. That's what it means. Yadenin, yadenin, ningyan, modal. Ningyan means from whatever you have extricated yourself. So pain or suffering is not there for you from that. So if you extricate yourself from this class, pain associated with this class will not be there for you. Anything you will enjoy only if you are detached. I will enjoy this class and talk with enjoyment only if I detach myself from the thought that I hope everybody understands the Gita Vacha Upanishad and get the benefit. I hope everybody is, listening to me. If I have that attachment, then I will not be enjoying when I am talking. Similarly, it's the enjoyment that burdens, it's the attachment that burdens us. The possessiveness that burdens you. One fellow went to Guru and said, I want peace. I want peace. He said, very easy. You can get peace right now. How? Drop the I from this sentence. So then it became want peace. Then he said, drop the want also. He drops the want. Then what happens? Only peace remains. So what is taking you away from peace is your I want. And why this I is wanting? Because the I is a poor shadow of the reality today. But when the I is not the shadow but the reality is understood by you, then you will cover up this shadow. You will cover up this shadow with the knowledge of the reality. Then you will feel secure. That's what he said. Kena tyak. Tena gunjitaha magrida kasya sviddhanam. The last line, it is the directional advice to the seekers. Where he says, do not covet another's wealth. Another meaning for this, another translation for this is, for whose is the wealth? When everything is consciousness, what do you mean by somebody else's wealth or your wealth? Another wealth, Adi Shankara says, even your wealth also. Do not covet. See, the irony is, the matter, the material stuff, which has no life. The rupee note, if you see, does it have life? It has no life. But you are a living being. A living being losing peace because of the attachment to the rupee note which has no life. Pathetic. That's what he says. Magrida kasya sviddhanam. Why you are craving, man? He says, do not covet another self. You don't covet your wealth also. Because wealth is basically what? Is nothing but material objects. You want wealth for what? So that you can transact with the material objects or the beings. What is all this? All this is nothing but different modification of the same consciousness only. So whether there is some money in somebody else, with somebody else or with you, it's the same thing, it doesn't make difference. It's like in your shirt, you have two pockets, and in one pocket there is, in your right pocket, let's say there is 100 rupee note, and in the left pocket there is 500 rupee note. How does it matter? Both are yours only. So would you say, okay, I should put this 500 also into 100, the same pocket which has 100 rupee note? It doesn't matter. So for whose is the wealth? Is also nothing but consciousness. So therefore, do not covet wealth. So it's an advice. So when you become detached with the material world, then the consciousness from within reveals itself. Even to digest this knowledge and convert this knowledge into wisdom, you need little bit of renunciation. So if you are coming to this class, in fact, even in the yoga, when Patanjali talks about the 8 steps, you know, yama, niyama, asana, pranayama, pratyahara, dharana, dhyana, samadhi. In that yama, niyama, when he talks about this, do not have interest for another's wealth. But outside wealth ke liye, don't have interest. With whatever you get out of your work, you be satisfied with that. That's the first step. And in the second step, even that you become detached. Become non-possessive. That kind of non-possessive attitude is important for you to be able to grasp this knowledge. And with this knowledge, there comes much better renunciation. You grow to a different height of renunciation. And then you qualify for meditation. And then through meditation, you realize it. So therefore, the advice is, do not covet another's wealth. This is the verse we have seen. Now, let's chant verse number 2. कुर्वन्नेवेह कर्माणि जिजीदिशे तथगुं समाह एवं त्वयि नान्यत्तेतो ओस्ति न कर्म लिप्यते नरे कुर्वन्नेवेह कर्माणि जिजीदिशे तथगुं समाह एवं त्वयि नान्यत्तेतो ओस्ति न कर्म लिप्यते नरे. नाउ the mantra number 1 was addressed for the evolved category of students. Upanishads themselves are given to students who are evolved category. Prashno, there is an Upanishad called Prashno Upanishad. The Upanishad is 6 questions. Those who are done with the world, enough is enough. This world is not going to get me what I want. Once the clarity comes, then when they are that mumukshatva and seek only Brahman, they are the Upanishadic students. So what we studied in 18 chapters of the Gita, he finishes in 18 verses here, and to be precise, in the first 2 shlokas itself, in the first 2 mantras itself. I don't know if you recollect in this. You remember, in the 3rd chapter, Arjuna asks the question to Sri Krishna. Jayasi che karmanaste mata buddhir janatana tatkim karmani gore maam niyojayasi keshava yami shreneva vakyena buddhi mohayasi vame tadekam vadanishitya ena shreyoham apnaam. This is a question Arjuna asks Sri Krishna. What it means is, you have been praising knowledge, Krishna, but you are compelling me, forcing me to do the action, Gora Karma, terrible action. Tell me certainly what I should do. Should I follow knowledge or should I follow action? This is Arjuna's question. For which in the 3rd shloka of the 3rd chapter, Sri Krishna answers. He says, Lokesmin dvida nishta pura prokta mayanaga jnana yogena samkhya nam karma yogena yogina. Aspin loke means in this world, there are 2 types of people, Arjuna, called introverted and extroverted. Extroverted people meaning desire-ridden. Those who have desire for the worldly objects and beings. Those who, you know, consider themselves as this body, this ego, and they want the objects of this world, so they have desires. So, lokesmin dvida nishta pura prokta mayana. Jnana yogena sankhyana, karma yogena yogina. So, for the extroverted people, there is this path of action. And for the introverted people, there is this path of knowledge. So, all this we studied in the Gita, I'm just reminding you. What we studied in 18 chapters, he finishes in this first 2 verses. first two mantras is over. Upanishad finishes off. In fact, what was discussed in the Upanishads in one or two mantras brought out and explained in such detail, because the student of the Bhagavad Gita is Arjuna, who is like you and me, who is a man of action. We are the tremendous desires. So, we need to act. So, therefore, a lot more explanation. So, the first mantra is for the seekers who are mumukshus. Mumukshu means who have burning desire to liberate. They have no desire for the world. They are all renunciates. Nivritti marga. There are two margas called Nivritti and Pravritti. Pravritti and Nivritti. Pravritti means the grahastha marga. The marga that we are in. The path of action. Nivritti marga means the path of sannyasi or the path of renunciation. So in the first mantra, he talks about that renunciation. If you are not comfortably able to renounce mentally, like we discussed, not able to come to that level of non-possessiveness and all that, then what you are supposed to do? You are supposed to do action. That is this mantra. So let's get on to the mantra now. Kurvan eva iha karmani jijivishe. Performing actions alone eva. Kurvan eva iha. Kurvan evaha. Due to sandhi it combines and it's become kurvan evaha. Kurvan evaha means kurvan eva iha. Kurvan means performing. Performing what? Karmani. Actions. Alone here, by performing actions alone here, jijivishet means one who wishes to live. One who admires this body. And one who admires to live in this body. Now, generally we talk in common parlance. Fellows say, oh, poor fellow. Poor fellow dead and gone. That fellow should go and ask whoever is gone, probably he will say, poor fellow is still stuck there. No. That's why all the fellows who are married, they somehow want the other fellows also get married and get stuck. Probably. So, Jijivishet means the person who desires to live with prana. That's what it means. So he says, now for such a person, how should he live? Upanishads don't know what is called a selfish action. They don't know what it is. Therefore, when they say action, they mean the unselfish action or the selfless action. They don't know what is selfish action. They talk about karma yoga. They don't talk about karma, which gives you pap and punya. No. They only talk about karma yoga. So what the Upanishad here says is, performing actions alone here, one should wish to live chatagum samaha. Chatagum samaha means hundreds of years. 100 years. It doesn't mean 100 years you live and after 100 years you die. Or you should not live less than 100 years. Somehow live 100 years. What it means is, as many years as you live, you should live performing actions. What kind of actions? Karma Yoga. What is Karma Yoga? We studied already in the Bhagavad Gita. What is that? Karma Yoga is when you do an action without attachment to the fruit, dedicating it for a goal, and whatever comes out of that action, you accept as prasad. This is called Karma Yoga. So there is Arpana Buddhi and Prasada Buddhi, and there is no attachment to the fruit of that. This is Karma Yoga. So he says, performing such actions, Purva Neveha Iha Karmani Jijidishe Chatagum Samaha. So may you, by performing actions alone here means in this body, in this world, through this body, one should wish to live 100 years. So whatever number of years you live performing Karma Yoga. Thus, he says, evam tvai na anya, evam tvai na anyata, evam tvai anyata, ita astina karma lipyate narehe. Narehe means, nara means man. For a man, thus there is none other than this, means Karma Yoga. Why? Because actions does not stain the man. Meaning, such actions, which are called Karma Yoga, does not stain you. Does not stain you means what? Doesn't gather more vasanas. So remember, the purpose for which we are here is enjoyment. And the purpose, happiness is fulfilled not by acquisitions but by renunciation. It's by dropping of the vasanas you enjoy, not by clinging to it. If you actually understand this, your life will have a complete turn from today. Now, this is Vedanta. Everything else is not Vedanta. This is practical Vedanta. And the ultimate is the other one. This is moksha and all that. Here in this world, the thing that you need to renounce is the I, the doership, the possessiveness. The moment you renounce that and perform the actions do not stick in. Lipyate. Lipyate means sticking. They don't stick to you. But the actions that we have been doing, we always do with some kind of expectation. Some kind of interest. So, really speaking, if there is some interest in the mind, some desire, then the vasanas are accumulated. See, we have studied in chronology of action, where from vasana comes thought, from thought comes desire, from desire comes action, and from action again comes vasana. What kind of action again vasana has come? Desire-ridden action. Why in desire-ridden action again vasana has come? Because in desire-ridden action, your attention is always on the fruit. Your attention is always on the fruit. So, when we explain these concepts in the Bhagavad Gita class, I gave an example. I don't know if you remember still. It's like, when I talked about Karma Yoga, I gave this example. What is that? When a bhakta is preparing modak on Ganesh Chaturthi day, incidentally, the bhakta may have desire for modak. Favorite sweet for the bhakta also could be modak, incidentally. But the modak is prepared. He is only doing it personally himself, not buying from the shop. So when he is cooking, all that, the aroma, everything is there. But his thought is on Ganesh Ji. This is being prepared for Ganeshji, Ganeshji, Ganeshji. So, in spite of him cooking, and while cooking, because he wants to give the best to the Ganesha, he may even taste it. Like Shabari. But all along the thought is Ganeshji. And once he offers it to Ganeshji, then only he takes it as a prasad. So all along the thought was on Ganeshji, not on the fruit or the modak that he is preparing. Similarly in Karma Yoga, you have desires but you are given a direction, a goal, and then you are functioning. As a result, you are not thinking about the benefits that accrue for which you have desires. You are thinking of the goal. Therefore, the vasanas pertaining to that particular level, they drop. This is how Karma Yoga helps you in crossing over the vasanas. So when you do such actions, your vasanas drop. So if you have the desire to talk, you can talk to, because so that you will get recognition, name, fame, power, money, this, that. But instead, if you give it a direction by fixing a goal, then you do it. Incidentally, as a prasad, as a byproduct, the name, fame, money, following, everything may come. But you are not thinking about it 24/7. But the desire to talk is there. But the outcome is not what you are thinking about. You are thinking about the goal. Therefore, the vasanas drop. Hence, they don't bind you. They don't stain you. That is how Karma Yoga drops vasanas. So, the vasanas are formed by constant and intelligent thinking. Unconsciously, unintelligently, you constantly think of something, you create vasanas. So now by conscious, intelligent thinking of the higher, you drop the lower. This is called Karma Yoga. This is why the Upanishad says, people who are not comfortable in Jnana Marga, Nivritti Marga. Nivritti Marga means he has no desire, no nothing. He wants to sit and reflect, meditate. That's their level. See, remember, both the grahastha and the sannyasi are ajnani. But the grahastha doesn't know that he is ajnani. Sannyasi knows that he is ajnani. And the sannyasi has a goal of removing that ajnanam and realizing the self. Whereas the grahastha who doesn't know that he is ajnani, he is being told by the Guru. You do action, but do it as Karma Yoga. When you keep doing it as Karma Yoga, slowly, slowly, the Chitta Shuddhi happens. When the Chitta Shuddhi happens, then you slowly, slowly begin to understand that you are a Ajnani, you are covered by these Vasanas, then slowly, slowly, you will also develop that Vairagya, come to the level of a sannyasi. Therefore, he says, performing action alone here, one should wish to live 100 years. So, when there are too many desires, what happens is there are too much reaction. Every human being goes through 3 transactions of life called receipt of stimuli from the external world, reaction from within, and response back to the world. This is what we are doing. From the time we wake up in the morning till the time we go to bed, there is a receipt of stimuli from the world outside and it is reacting within our personality. Then we are responding back to the world. So if you have too much of desires, there is too much of attachment to this body, this ego, and all this information which you receive, Corona second wave has come and even the second vaccine is only helping this much, that much, and this and that, all these things go in. There's too much of reaction. But if the desires are less, the reactions are less. I mean, there is too much of reaction, you will be responding, you'll be agitated, and your body will be acting, maybe incongruently, but it will do all kinds of actions impulsively. So therefore, such a person needs to be given a direction towards a higher goal, that's called Karma Yoga. So he says, performing actions alone here in this world. So, who says that Vedanta will take you away from the world? Vedanta never takes you away from the world. Vedanta in the final stages, what it does is, takes the world away from you. Remember this. A practical Vedanta, which is Karma Yoga in the beginning, is functioning in the world. Upanishad is saying, the way you live in this world is by performing actions only. You cannot escape. Where will you escape? Wherever you are, it is the world only. So you cannot escape. So escapism is not what Vedanta is teaching. Vedanta wants to gain the knowledge. When you gain that knowledge for which reduction of desires is a must, so through Karma Yoga you reduce the desires, and when you gain the knowledge, you then the whole paradigm shift happens. Then you slowly give yourself more for contemplation, etc. That's the sannyasi level life. So therefore he says, thus there is none other than this meaning Karma Yoga for you. Why? Because actions do not sting. Seen a man who functions the spirit of Karma Yoga. That's what it means. So today in the world, we are functioning merely doing actions driven by desires. All that people are interested in is fulfilling the desire and continuing to enjoy. So what do? They say, yaar, if I live in this world, I enjoy, then I will die. But once I die, I should book my ticket in heaven. In heaven, I should book my ticket. So what do? They do all things of karma. Good activities. Distribute. Donations. Punya activities. Desire-ridden punya activities. All these good, so-called good activities, but desire-ridden, propelled by desires, they get involved in. Then what do they get? They get punya. And the punya, what happens? You go to heaven. So you are basically somebody who is interested in booking tickets to permanently go through that enjoyment. That's all their interest is. They don't know anything else other than that. So they are constantly desiring for acquisitions and enjoyments. So what do? They only do karma. They don't do karma yoga. And when you do karma, what happens? The vasanas are acquired. And due to your punya, you go to a realm temporarily. And after being in the realm temporarily, you will again come back. Again you will come back. You will have to come back to this body. Here only you exhaust vasanas. Here only you can exhaust the vasanas. So this body, the human embodiment, is the best embodiment for you to exhaust the vasanas. So when we live in this body, we we should live here to reduce the vasanas. But what we do is keep on increasing the vasanas. When we keep on increasing the vasanas, what does it happen? It keeps us away from the Atma. God plus vasanas equals human beings. Human beings minus vasanas equals God. So when we are kept away from the vasana, sorry, God, what is that? It is suicidal. Suicidal means what? You putting mud on your own head. How? By going on increasing vasanas. That is what it is. Desire it. So, therefore, he says, you've got to renounce the fruit of action. Pravritti, Nivritti, difference, understand. In Nivritti, the very desire is renounced. In Pravritti, the attachment to the fruit is renounced. That's all. In the beginning, you have desire. You are functioning on it, but you are only dropping the attachment to the fruit. As most of you have desires. You do something or the other. You have an art gallery. You have a, you know, pottery thing. You are having a, this business, that business. Nothing wrong. Vedanta doesn't say it's wrong. But let it not remain a karma. Let it be converted into karma yoga. Now, when it is converted into karma yoga, then the vasanas don't stick. Otherwise, it does stick. So, most of us are only interested in what? Acquisition, enjoyment. Nothing else. And that itself is a trap for us to keep coming back here, which keeps us away from the Atma. And when we are away from the Atma, it is Asurya Loka. This he talks in the next verse. So therefore, the whole thing is very simple. The entire philosophy, if you summarize it, it's very simple. Knowledge gives you moksha. Knowledge of the self gives you moksha. But to come to that knowledge, you need pure mind. That comes to karma yoga. But if you don't do karma yoga, you do karma, you will keep on developing more and more vasanas, which will keep you away from the self. Which means what? You will again come back, go. Come back and go. This is the problem. So therefore, he says, this kind of people, they keep coming and going. Ye should not aspire to come back. Not fall into this ego trap again. But if you didn't understand verse number 2, then you will automatically fall under verse number 3. So let's chant verse number 3. Asurya namate loka ande natamasa vrita. Sagunste pretyadigacchanti ekecha mahanojanaha Asurya namate loka ande natamasa prithaha Sagunste pretyadigacchanti ekecha mahanojanaha Asurya, asuhu means prith, prana. Asuhu ramante iti asurya. One who revels in this prana means one who loves to be in this body living. We don't know anything more than this. How much ever we study is the consciousness and reflecting ego, false guilt, illusion, sab kuch, still I am attached to this body. Terrified of death. Asuhu ramante, one who revels in this world. in this prana, this life. So, what is he reveling in this life for what? With eyes, he wants to see color and form. Nose, smells, and then tongue taste, ears sound, skin touch. That constantly he wants to enjoy this world. So, such people are called Asurya. And in this Asurya, generally, you know, Asura, we understand as demon. But here, even Devas are called Asurya. A sunless world, darkness. Those worlds, Loka here means body. Asurya Namate Loka. See, Loka means body. Loka in Sanskrit means experience. It's through this body we experience all this. So this Loka means body. Here, Asurya Namate Loka. Means this body is called or named as Asurya. Sunless. So, Asurya Namate Loka. Andena Tamasabhita. Those worlds developed by blinding darkness are deemed sunless. Which is this body only. Means no awareness. No buddhi. What happens? You keep developing more and more vasanas. You continue coming back in this body. You continue janam. Janma continues. So, Asurya Namate Loka Andena Tamasa Vita. Then he says, Tavumse Pretyadi Gacchanti Yeke Taat Mahano Janaha. Which means those people slaying their self and departing go to them. So, what they mean is, these fellows are, while living in this body, they are all equal to somebody who's committed suicide. They have destroyed the self. It is akin to committing a suicide. Suicidal. The way we live now. We are living a delusionary life where thinking that we are doing good for us, we are putting more and more sorrow, adding more and more sorrow into our life. That's why we call it as moha, delusion. In that story there, there was an asura who got the boon from Lord Shiva that whosoever head he touches, they'll be reduced to ash. And he got the boon, the tremendous tapas, he convinced Lord Shiva and he got the boon. And then once he got the boon, he wanted to test if the boon is working or not. So he said, let me check on Lord Shiva only. So he is trying to keep his arm on Lord Shiva's head. So that, you know, he wants to check if the boon is working. Then Lord Shiva had to run, save his life because he knows it will work. So to help him, Lord Narayana comes in a beautiful woman's form. She is called Mohini. And when she comes, now the Asura, who was later on called as Bhatmasura, is distracted and attracted to her. So, he is completely deluded now. The Mohini deludes this Asura. Who is running after power, name, fame, etc. This is the Asurya body, how we are functioning. So, the Mohini is completely duping him and whatever she is doing, he does. She is dancing. So, whatever she does, he also does. Then finally, Mohini touches her own head. He also touches his own head. And is completely reduced to ash. We are doing the same thing we are doing. We, the conscious being, getting attracted to this material object. And we continue running, away from the Atma, without renouncing the world, we are renouncing the self. And that's called suicide. Commit suicide. Go away from the self. Slaying the self. Not identifying with the self. So what happens? We go after the material world with the hope of enjoying. But what actually happens? You go with the hope of enjoyment, but you come back with more agitation and desire. You go to fulfill one desire, but you come back with 25,000 desires. So you, when you come back, you yourself are confused whether you are happy or unhappy. After having conquered, see, all of us, when we look at our life, we have much more things than what we had before. Many things which we have today were once upon a time our aspiration. We wanted to have all of them. And now we have it. But still what has happened? In spite of all this, there is this insecurity. You know, those who believe in these things, they believe that the sun has to come and he only has to, whenever they die, they should have a sun. And the sun only should come and cremate them and do all the, you know, rituals. Only then they'll go to heaven. So now this Corona has come, now everybody is worried, and the sun, he is in America. Now if something happens to me here, will he come from America? Will he do it? If he doesn't do, I will not go to heaven. And even if you have a son, and even if the ticket is there, even if that fellow can come, whether he will come, that is another big doubt. So nobody is actually secure. So he says, those people slaying their self and departing, they go to them, to what? To the sunless world. Meaning what? They again develop more and more punya and come back. So maximum you will go up to what? Devaloka, where you have the deva's body. But that is also what? Different frequency at the mind level only. So what happens? That is also a Surya Loka. That body is also a Surya Loka. You will come back to this human body. So this depart, go to them, and then they come back. What it means? So Asurya Namate Andenata. Asurya Namate Loka. So the moment we get into this attachment to this body and its attractions, we have no clue of the Atma. Absolutely no clue. And we move far away from the self. As a result, what happens? We depart, we go, and come back. Go and come back. Go and come back. This is what he calls as suicidal. So, first verse is with reference to renunciation. Second verse is with reference to action. Third verse is one who moves from ajnanam to ajnanam. First, see, okay, let's take the first verse. In the first verse, from ajnanam to jnanam he wants to move. And he moves. The first verse. Second verse is, from ajnanam to awareness of ajnanam and seeking knowledge through renunciation. The second verse. Third verse is ajnanam to ajnanam. There is no awareness of ajnanam. No question of wanting to gain knowledge through renunciation and realize that. Nothing. That is the third category of people, which is majority of us, who keep dwelling in the ajnanam. This is what he communicates the first three mantras. Next week you will see mantra number two. Let's conclude now. Om Pur
पूर्णमो
दक्षते पूर्णस्य वशिष्यते। ओम शांति शांति शांति। ओम कायेन वाचा मनसेन्द्रियैर्वा बुद्ध्यात्मना वा प्रकृते स्वभावात् करोमि अद्य सकलं परस्मै नारायणायेति समर्पयामि। हरिओम सी ऑल।